This week we're going to have a look at the story Jesus tells in Luke chapter 15. It's a great story, one of the best stories, one of the best known stories in the Bible. And I'm going to start by retelling it, and then I'm going to get you to do a little bit of work. You're going to talk with the person next to you and try and decide what you think the story should be called. It used to be called The Prodigal Son, and in your red books it's called The Lost Son. So I'm going to give you a few choices, and then you can spend a bit of time working out what you think the story should be told. There are going to be some pictures, and they'll be flipped through, and I'm going to retell the story using my own words. At the beginning of chapter 15, we see Jesus is having a party with tax collectors and sinners. And the Pharisees and teachers of God's law are looking on. So Jesus tells three stories together. The first is about a shepherd. One of his sheep has wandered off and become lost. So he leaves the other sheep and searches everywhere for the lost one. When he finds it, he is so happy. He celebrates with all his friends. And Jesus says this is how God celebrates when one person is found. The next story is about a woman. She loses a valuable coin and turns her house upside down to find it. And when she finds it, she's so happy, she celebrates with all her friends. Jesus says this is how God celebrates with all the angels when one person is found. And now our story begins on verse 11. A man had two sons. The younger one couldn't wait to leave home and get away from his father, but he wanted money to make his life easy. So he told his father to give him his inheritance as if the father was dead. This was a terrible and shameful thing for the younger son to do. He made it clear he didn't want his father, only his money. The youngest son quickly took the money and went far away from his father and spent it on anything and everything he wanted. But the money ran out, and there was a drought in that land, no rain. And so there was no crops and no food, and he was in big trouble. The younger son thought he would starve to death. When he came to his senses, he said to himself, "Even my father's servants back home have food to spare. They never go hungry. I will go back and admit to my father I've been wrong and a terrible son, and ask if I could be a servant of his, because I certainly don't deserve to be his son anymore." While he was still far off, his father saw him. The father did not put on his best robe and ring and wait for his son to come to him. The father did not walk and meet him halfway. He loved his son so much that he gave up his dignity as a respected man and ran to his son. And when he met him, he threw his arms around his neck and squeezed so hard and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him. The younger son tried to tell his speech to his father, but the father got the servants to get the best robe and ring and some sandals. The father didn't want them for himself, but he wanted them for his rebel son. As they walked back home together, he sent the servants ahead of them to prepare a great feast and to kill the best animal on the farm. The oldest son heard that his younger brother had returned, and the father was celebrating at having him back. But the older brother refused to join in with his father and his brother and to enjoy their joy. So his father went to him. But the older son angrily rebuked his father, a terrible and shameful thing to do, because he hadn't been given even a goat to have a party by himself with his own friends, without his father or brother. The older brother thought he deserved to get more things from his father. And then this younger brother of his was given everything and wasted it, and now he's been given more. The father said, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So now it's your turn. Turn to the person next to you and ask them, what name would they give to this story? You have three choices. You can use what's in the Bible, the lost son. Or you could call it the lost sons, if you think both sons were lost. Or choice number three is the wonderful father. Okay, talk to the person next to you. All right, have you worked out what you'd like to call it? Anybody like to call it the lost son like it is in the Bible? Anyone think that's a good name? They're all good names, I think. Yes, there's quite a few. What about the lost sons? Anyone think the older son also was lost? About the same. What about the wonderful father? Wow, that's the winner, isn't it? There we go. The story does start with the father and it finishes with the father, and he is the standout character. We're up to point one on the outline if you're following that. Boys will be boys. This is a saying we have in Australia and many other places. It's a way of excusing bad behaviour in boys, as if they can't help it. They are just behaving like boys. And these two brothers seem like many brothers in many families. One is young and rebellious. He's a rebel and he can't wait to get away from home. The other, the older one, tries very hard to always do what is right all the time. And he thinks he deserves more from his father. These boys may not be perfect. In fact, they're pretty normal for boys. But not everything these boys do can be excused. The younger son didn't even want his father. He would have been happy for his father to die and wanted that to be true and to get his inheritance. This is shocking. He only wanted his father's money and to get as far away from his father as quickly as he could. The older son complained that he wanted a goat to enjoy without his father. He too seems to only want his father's stuff and didn't really want his father. He did, think of the relationship as father-son, but as slave to master. The older son thought that if he does what is right, he should get more stuff from his father. But then he sees his younger brother getting everything and then wasting it, and when he comes back, he's given even more. This didn't make sense to the older brother at all. Maybe both boys can be excused for some of their choices, but not when they wanted their father away or dead, and they only wanted his stuff. This is not so easy to excuse. It's terrible and it's shameful. So why did Jesus tell this story? It's a great story, and I've thought of three reasons why Jesus might have told it. Let's begin back at the first few verses of chapter 15. It says there in verses 1 and 2, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and teachers of God's law were muttering and grumbling at Jesus." So Jesus told these stories. Tax collectors in Australia aren't so bad. In fact, they do a good service. But there, think about it, the people of Israel were ruled by Rome, were ruled harshly and roughly by Rome. And the Roman army was always around, giving people a hard time. And they had to be paid. So the tax collectors collected money from their own people so the soldiers could be paid to give them a hard time. They were not liked. They were traitors to their own people. They had joined the Romans, a people far away who ruled over Israel. And sometimes they cheated and took more in tax than they should. They had given up on God and God's people to look after number one, themselves. Their life was all about money. They were a lot like the younger son in the story. They had run away from their own people and from God and lived life how they wanted it for themselves. But they had come to Jesus and were listening to him. In contrast, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were good people. They always tried very hard to do what is right all the time. But they felt this made them better than everybody else, and they looked down on other people. They were not so interested in knowing God and living with God as much as they were interested in doing the right things so they were impressive and they could have people speak well of them and have others look up to them. They did not want God, not to love him, but just to get all the things in life that were important to them without God. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were a lot like the older son. They had not run away, but they were lost to God in their hearts. They didn't want God, only what being near God could bring to them. So I think the first reason Jesus told this story was to let rebels like the tax collectors and sinners know that they were so loved by God and wanted by him, even though they had run away and rebelled. And Jesus had welcomed them and had been at a party with them, and they were listening to him. But Jesus also wanted the Pharisees and the teachers of the law to know God and to know that they were so loved by him and wanted by him. God is like the father who went to his older son and begged him to join the family. But the Pharisees and the tax collectors, like the older son, stayed away from the party, grumbling and muttering about Jesus and not listening to him. The second reason why I think Jesus might have told this story is to teach important things about people and about God. There are three words that Jesus uses in these stories more than any other: lost, found, and joy. Jesus uses the word lost 8 times in this chapter. But where our red Bibles have used the word lost, Jesus actually said perishing. He was talking about dying, about being lost to life. Jesus wanted to teach that people were lost from God, and to be without God is like being the youngest son in that faraway place at a time of drought with no one to help you. If we're separated from God, we must die, and then our problems really start. The word found is also used 8 times by Jesus. There is more to life than being lost. God wants to find us and bring us back home with him. Like the shepherd that went outside the field searching for his lost sheep, like the woman that searched inside the house until she found her lost coin, and like the father that always loved his son and went outside to find the younger son and went inside to find the older son. And the word Jesus uses most, it's 2 words, but they mean much the same thing. It's joy. He uses these words 10 times. The shepherd celebrated with much joy with all his friends when one sheep was found. The woman celebrated with much joy with all her friends when the coin was found. And the father says to his older son, "We have to celebrate. There is so much joy because the lost son was found." God loves each of us, whether we are rebels or good people, but he won't force us to love him. If we want him, he will find us. That is his joy. Then we won't miss out on any good thing. But the best thing is not God's stuff, but having God as our Father. It seems that that was how it was meant to be from the beginning of time. I'm going to read from the Old Testament, from Psalm 82. "I, God, have said that you are all sons of the Most High God, but instead you die like mere mortals and fall like every other ruler. We were made to be sons of God, but we end up dying because we rejected God who gives us life. We rejected our Father. It seems we were meant to be sons of the Most High God and can still be through Jesus." I'm now going to read from 1st letter of John, chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should have the title Son of God, because in Jesus that is what we are." The third reason I think Jesus told the story is because he loves his dad and loves telling how wonderful he is. His father will give up anything to make us his children. He gives up his dignity and high position in heaven and came into his creation as a made item, a human, to walk among us, to rescue us, if we want to be rescued. These stories let us see inside God's own heart, and it's full of love for his children, if only they would let him love them. So Jesus is for rebels, for those who live deliberately without God. But Jesus can bring them back to God, into God's lovely family. Jesus is also for good people who try hard but think they can get to God themselves. Jesus can even bring them back into God's loving family. God won't force anyone to love him. He loves us too much for that. But if we want our God and Maker, who loves us so much and in whom is all life, he is ready to welcome us. What does God welcoming us look like? It looks like Jesus on the cross, dying for us in our place, and then rising to a new life. Some of us here might be rebels. Some of us here might be good people. But if you're a Christian, and many of you are, maybe today is a good day to have a little talk with your own heart. You could say to your heart, what is it you really want? Is it God and his love, or is it God's stuff? Are you with God only to try and get more of his stuff? Or are you with God because that is what you really want? We're going to have a question time after our next song. Every question is welcome. I might not be able to answer every question, but if you ask a question, it's likely it will help more people than just you. I'm going to finish with my own story, and it has two endings I'm going to give to you. Use your imagination. Imagine it's Christmas. Christmas morning, and a mother and father have brought their little boy, their four-year-old son, a wonderful present. So the parents take the son from the bed into the main room where the tree is and where the big present is beautifully wrapped underneath. The first ending goes like this. The son sees the present and runs across the room. He tears the paper off wildly, then opens the box and sees the wonderful, thoughtful present inside. And he loves it and plays with it and won't leave it the rest of the day. He even takes it to breakfast with him. He even goes to sleep with it, filling up his bed. The second ending goes like this. The son sees the present and runs across the room. He tears off the paper wildly and then opens the box and sees the wonderful, thoughtful present inside. And he loves it. But then he stops and he stands up and runs back across the room and throws his arms around his parents' neck and squeezes so hard and kisses and kisses and kisses them. If you had a son, which of those two sons would you like? If you were God, which of those two sons would you like? If you were you, which of those two sons would you like to be?